Hi, I'm Henry Reininga, and with me is Steve Elzinga, and we are back in our class about influence, and we're talking about the influence-wrecking habits, continuing our discussion, and we have our first slide here.
Not walking with... This is the same one, Henry. Every time we start with this, why the same one every... Is this a shortcut? Is this you didn't have enough time to give more answers? Or?
No. I mean, it's so foundational from a reproducible side. I mean, even something like to walk with God, to have access to the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, where all things are fuel... The caring for even walking in a way that brings great influence.
Okay, so you know, without walking with God, all the other things that we talk about are negated.
Right. I mean, the business community is sort of like puts all these principles, attaches them in all books, puts them all in the market, and if you look at them, these are the principles that are given in the book of Proverbs.
Right.
Right. Okay. But with one section, it's not. Walking with God is the foundation of it all.
Right.
It's just the principle, which has a certain amount of success to it.
Right.
But walking with God is that which makes you don't take yourself so serious. Your image bearer of God makes you be humble. It makes you, all
of
those
things. In fact, we could probably talk about a walk with God with every point that we made.
Yeah, right.
There's a walking with God piece to all of it.
Yes. Okay. Now let's begin with those wrecking habits. The first one, trash talking or gossiping. Proverbs 1:22, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret.
Trash talking to gossip. Why does gossip hurt your ability to influence others?
Well, my read on it is that when someone begins gossiping, it is about them, and they're trying to put someone else down, and they're creating a narrative about them that they're less and you're more.
Right.
Okay, so that people see that, and that's hard to influence when you're that type of a person.
Yeah.
I think also there's a spiritual aspect to this. I mean, gossip is mentioned in the Bible many, many times as something that hurts relationships. And if you hurt relationships, ultimately it will hurt your influence.
Yeah, there's Matthew 18 is that passage that talks about how you're supposed to handle things.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a problem with someone, you're supposed to go directly to them.
Right.
Rather than talk to someone else. Talking to someone else is gossip.
Yes.
And I have, over the years in ministry, I've come to see that passage, Matthew 18, is so incredibly insightful.
Right.
Way more than I first bumped into it early on. Seeing how it works in our church, especially as a leader. What happens, I think, with gossip is the typical thing, I get hurt. Someone says something and it hurts me. And now that I'm hurt, now I could fight back. I could go to you and say this hurt. I could go directly to you like Matthew 18 says.
Right.
But I'm angry at you and I was hurt by you. And so I don't do that. And I think, you know, it's not going to do any good anyway because he doesn't listen. That's
right.
Why he says these kinds of things.
Right.
But I'm still hurt. So what do I do with my hurt? I go to a sympathetic ear.
Right.
And I start telling them about what you said. And, of course, I slant it my
just
way.
A little bit or a lot.
So then the person I go to likes me and is sympathetic. So they go, oh, really? He said that? Oh, that's terrible. Boy, that must make you angry. And, you know, so now I'm unloading and I'm telling that person. Now that person has only heard one side.
Right.
And what do they do with that information?
They tell somebody else.
Yeah, because now they're stuck with this negative
stuff. And they might have a little negative feeling toward the person too, so they add a little nuance that makes it even worse.
And then it goes around and around and gets worse and worse. And finally it gets to that person in this distorted manner in the back door.
Yep.
And, of course, then they're upset and now everybody's upset.
Right.
So I think, you know, a good way to step into a more leadership role is not so much the person who gets hurt. You know, if I get hurt, I'm hurt. And I'm going to do irrational things. I'm not going to talk to you. I am going to go find someone to talk to. That's just going to happen. We can't hardly stop that. Early in my ministry, I tried to stop that.
Yeah,
stop gossiping. You must stop.
Right.
But where I found where to put the energy is not in the person who's hurt. The person who's hurt is going to go find somebody.
Right.
It's the person they find.
Right.
Because they find someone and they start going, you know, I was talking to Henry earlier and this is what Henry said. And then that person, because they haven't been hurt
right.
by you.
Right.
They're neutral right now.
Yeah.
Stop. Before you tell me all this negative stuff, have you gone to Henry and talked to him about that?
Right.
No, I haven't. He wouldn't listen. You know what? You got to go talk to him. That's what Matthew 18 says.
Yes.
Don't tell me about it because now I have a burden I can't do anything with. You go back and talk to Henry. And if Henry doesn't listen, come back to me. That's step two of Matthew 18. Then I will go with you and both of us will go. Now, the reason that, you know, the person who's getting hurt is not necessarily going to be look like a leader because he's hurt and he's talking, but we all do that.
Right.
But I'm telling you, the person that stops the gossip and says, hold it, why are you telling me these negative things? Have you done Matthew 18 first? That person is going to look like a leader.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is people are going to stop gossiping to that person.
Right.
I'm not going to him because I know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
He's going to say, have you done Matthew 18?
Right.
So I'm going to... So in a subtle way, by you telling people about Matthew 18 and how you don't want to hear this negative stuff without you going there first, is a subtle way of influencing them.
Yes.
I'm influencing you in a subtle way to do things right, even though it's hard and though it's difficult. And that kind of leader gets respected.
Yes. And trusted.
And trusted.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Very good. Being an interrupter. Yeah, I've done my share of that. And
so why do people do that? Interrupt.
I think a lot of reasons. They're impatient. We've talked about that. Mm-hmm. They think they're answer man. They know better, and they don't want a less form of an articulation being said and heard into the world, so they just stop it. They don't have time, so they interrupt. They don't respect the person. I mean, really, why people interrupt be a lot of reasons. Some reasons, it's they feel their office is too dignified to have to listen to someone for so long. And others is you're just selfish and you want it about yourself. Wow. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. And a man of understanding is even tempered. Proverbs 17, verse 27.
Sometimes I interrupt because you say something and I have a thought. And if I keep listening to you, I might lose my thought.
Yeah, I have that too.
So I got to quick say it before I lose it.
Right.
But then I'm impinging on your thought.
Yeah.
You know. So sometimes what we need to do is just write our thought down.
Yeah.
We say
get our phone out.
Yeah, just jot it down.
Yep.
You know, as much as you want to say the thought that you have, think that other person wants to say what they're thinking.
Right.
And I think if we give people a chance to say what they want. But I understand that because I feel like I'm going to forget it.
Me too.
And then I'm not listening to you anymore because now I'm in my mind going over and over it again so I don't forget it. Now I'm not even listening to you.
Well, where I get caught now more recently is I'm enthusiastic about something and I introduce the conversation. And then the person that I'm with talks about it, which is great. But that person... You know, is I want to get through the whole thing, and so then they'll react, and I'll go, okay, got to tell you what.
We don't want to get off tangent here.
Okay, well, but again, those are just good principles. Here's one: lazy living. Why is this so detrimental to be influential? Proverbs 6, 6, 10, 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways to be wise. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Laziness.
Yeah, I just preached, I don't know if I used this particular verse, but I just preached on discipline. And I think people respect discipline.
Okay.
People that, someone that's good at something, you know, someone who learned the piano and spent many years doing it, you respect the skill, the discipline that it took to get there. people that are good at whatever their craft or their business or their work thing is, you respect that. They didn't take any shortcuts. They're not looking for everybody to bail them out.
Right.
They're not looking for everybody to do it for them. So if I want to take ownership for something and I want to learn something and I want to be influenced by somebody, I want to be influenced by somebody who's done something.
Right.
That has taken ownership for it and worked hard at it. Because, you know, I want that too.
Right.
And I think a lot of people that, you know, that you want to help, they lack discipline.
Right.
So why would they want to be mentored or influenced by a person who lacks discipline when I'm the one lacking
it?
I want to learn from you. And if you're not disciplined about it, how's that going to go?
You know, it's fascinating, the metaphors of this one. I mean, this, you know, a lot of times in Proverbs, they're just using the words and describing what not to be and how it is detrimental. But in this case, go to the ant.
Yeah, it's a positive.
Yeah.
Go to the disciplined person.
Right.
Like the ant, you know, works hard while the food is there for the time where the food isn't there.
Right.
They prepare ahead of time.
Yes.
They sacrifice. That's what discipline is. It's sacrificing now for something better later.
Right.
And that's just, you just have respect for people that do that.
Right.
And they're leaders.
Now, on this one, if somebody came to you and it became clear they're just not getting anything done, they're just unfocused.
Right.
They just are, you know, lazy.
Yeah.
And they came to you, you're the life coach. I mean, how would you treat this?
Yeah. I think this is where coaching is at its best. You recognize that you don't have discipline and the effects it's doing to your life, and you want change. You want to be more disciplined. Okay. So in what particular area of your life do you feel the need for discipline the most?
Right.
Well, I don't know. Well, let's see. I guess with my kid, you know, and they start talking about their kid, or they mention their work, or they mention their marriage, or they mention their studies at CLI, and I just don't get any of them done. I start them and I never finish them. Whatever. Find an area. You're motivated, and now let's find an area. Okay. So what would a disciplined approach to this look like to you?
Right.
Now they write out, well, I think if I did this and I did that. Okay, so what do you think you can accomplish next week?
Right.
I think I can do these five things. All right. Let's see if you can do it. And then next week you meet. How did it go?
Right.
I only did two. Well, what happened to the other three? Well, I did this and then that. Well, why do you think that went wrong?
Right.
Well, I guess I didn't make it a priority, or I let other people take my time or whatever. You're helping them figure out, here's why you're not disciplined. Or I looked at it and it was a mountain of work and I went and took a nap instead. Okay.
Gotcha.
You know, how do we deal with the nap thing? You're taking too many naps. How many naps can you do less next week? You know, it's little by little. You're helping them look at a big, they look at it like this, and you go, all right, let's make it into 20 steps, so let's do 5 next week.
Now, on this one, let's talk about, like, influence, sin, good advice, your cultural heritage. You know, in some ways, you know, we come from a Dutch background where we were actually culturally raised that you got great shame by not being hardworking and disciplined, and you know, you almost get expelled from the community as if it was you know, one of the 7 deadly sins.
Right.
Okay. So, and then there's, but now in Proverbs, many of these are about life lessons or on how to be an influential person. What happens if you come from a background that you've never seen something like this, and you look at this? One of our graduates somehow, you know, came to our house for a long weekend from New York, and I remember she said she was like maybe in her 60s and she 65 or something like that, and she looked back and she said, this whole culture, everybody's busy, everybody gets up early in the morning, everybody, like, it's like, whoa, this is so different. I almost feel like I got to take a vacation after being at the Rhinga home for the weekend.
Right.
And so, you know, some of these things don't just turn around very easily.
And that, I mean, all you're really illustrating is people's need for a coach.
Because in the past, the culture helped you succeed at all these things.
Okay. Your so family. We had a lot of pieces together.
Yeah. And now that all those support systems are falling apart, used to be your aunt, you know, held you to a line, or you didn't go to church and your aunt said, where were you?
Yeah.
Now your aunt lives in Florida and you don't live there.
So
now you're on your own and you're floundering, or you didn't have a great home experience with a lot of good examples. And a lot of people don't. And that's why the coaching thing is a big field, because so many people didn't have the right background or culture. So the coach really is supplying that. He's like trying to be that culture. All right, let me be your aunt and your mother and your father and the cousins and the culture that will help you in an area that you don't know anything about. And it can happen. I mean, people can learn over time. They can be coached into those things that used to come natural.
Right. Now, the difference, of course, is you won't tell them. My aunt would tell me what I did wrong. I promise you she would.
Yes. Yes. But in a subtle way, the coach can, too, by just asking, so what happened?
Right.
Well, it didn't work. Oh, why do you think it worked?
So it's just a nicer aunt. The nicer aunt that helps you own your decisions.
Yeah. Because some people are still angry at their aunts.
I guess. That's really good, Steve. Really good. This is related to one we talked about earlier about talking about something no one wants to necessarily listen to. But it's sort of related to taking too long. Yeah. To make a point or tell a story. Proverbs 15, verse 23, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Some of the books on this, in the sort of people smart area, influence area, talk about how people can just take too long to make points, and that hurts their influence.
Mm.
Fascinating.
And I guess the question is, what is a too long? What is too long?
That's a good point.
I think a story is too long when it goes past the person's ability to hear it. Like if people are into it and you're telling this long story
and they're all laughing,
then it's good. But if you have a person that's not interested, number one, maybe you haven't listened to them long enough. You've been talking already too long. And they haven't got any of their words out. They haven't told any of their stories.
Right, and then you tell one story after the other.
Yeah, and some of it is, you can tell a longer story and make a longer point the more of a relationship you have with someone.
Right.
If you don't have a relationship with someone, they don't know you. They don't want to listen to a five-minute story about this. They're not connected to you yet.
Right.
So a lot of it is
knowing your connection.
And really not discerning your audience.
Right.
A story is only too long if your audience isn't listening.
Right.
It's fine if they are.
Right.
Well, you're not. If you go too long, it's because you're not looking at them.
So a rule of thumb in some ways is, if you don't know someone very well, make sure everything is short. Get to know someone.
And like,
you know, we've traveled the world together.
Right.
And some of our stories when we're together are long, but we know each other really well.
Right. Yes. And we can do it. And I've given you grace, you've given me grace, and we can give it back and forth. I know that you're going to eventually listen. I have to get my two words in edgewise right now.
It'll
be there. You know, but you don't know that in the beginning with someone. You don't know if you'll ever get a chance to say anything.
Right.
So it's really, I think, a lot of it is discerning who you're talking to.
This was court app reply.
Yeah. Appropriate to the situation.
Yeah.
And how do you know that? So again, you have to be watching people. Are they tracking with you when you tell a story? Give enough spots for them to interject.
Right.
And, you know, are they with you? Are they tracking with you? Are they not tracking with you? If you just go on and on and on forever, you could have lost them way in the beginning.
Yeah.
And everything else is pointless.
Here's one that's sort of related. Giving speeches or sermons that are boring or too long, and maybe we should put it there, and maybe in some cultures, too short. I don't know. Yeah. It's back to the app idea. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, one of the issues in influence that's in the literature is that many people of influence will have public speaking. So there's interpersonal types of discussions, and we just talked about that with stories that are not apt to the situation. But a lot of times, ministers or people of influence are asked to speak.
Yes.
And the number one
flag that hurts influence that's out there is just speaking too long or speaking boring.
Yeah. My wife tells me, you know, every Sunday, it's better to be interesting than not interesting, but if you're not interesting, at least be short. Because uninteresting and long is like a double whammy. People right. will forgive you if you're short enough.
Right.
But if you're long and uninteresting, I mean, it's best to be interesting.
Right.
And again, interesting is one of those things that you have to know your audience. And,
right.
you know, can I see that I'm interesting or not?
Right.
A little bit of feedback here and there. But, yes, the boring thing, I think, is just, you know, you're just not relating to people. If you're not relating to someone, then it's boring.
Right.
If it's related to my life, okay, I'm right. interested. And a lot of times we're teaching people, we're explaining things, and it never gets to their life.
Well, and a lot of ministers, what they find interesting in the study is not interesting
right.
On Sunday morning.
Right.
And they haven't figured out right. that yet.
Yes. And you know why that is, Henry? And I have the answer for that.
Okay, good. Rhetorical question. We're all waiting. Tell us why. Please, Steve, tell us why.
Well, it's because, you know, when you're in your study and you're looking for something and you have a problem and you don't know what this text means and you look at the Greek or the Hebrew yeah. or whatever, you're on a hunt. You're on a treasure hunt. And you're is there gold here? I don't know. I don't yeah. know. I don't know. And all of a sudden you find it. Woo! You found the gold. And then on church...
You get the endorphins.
The endorphins of finding something. Okay, right. Then you come on Sunday morning and go, here's the gold. Now, these people didn't look for the gold. They weren't hunting. They didn't find it. All you have right. is you're holding a nugget. There's no endorphins there. If you took them on the journey, I don't know what this passage means. This morning, we're going to look and see if we can figure it out. Maybe we can, maybe we can't.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I take him on the journey of the when I was in my office. Does it mean this? Oh, no, that doesn't work. And then all of a sudden we find it.
Right.
You know, then, okay, now that was interesting.
So to be an influential person, part of it is to take great care about your public speaking.
Yeah.
To be interesting, to be appropriate. You know, I know at Christian Leaders Institute, we have a preaching class. We have your communications class. Dr. Bruce Ballas has a preaching blog. There are, you know, excellent tutorials on YouTube about speaking in an interesting manner. If you will actually commit yourself to actually looking and improving and keep improving and don't get into a rut.
Right.
Good. Well, we just finished another presentation, and we look forward to joining you very soon.